The verse that we will be looking at today is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, especially the latter part of the verse. It says, "Train yourself for godliness." And so this morning I want to look at the topic of training ourselves for godliness. How do we do it? And so I want to focus primarily on the theme of spiritual disciplines. And I want to encourage every one of us to practice the spiritual disciplines, or as some people prefer to call them, the means of grace. It seems to me that when we were first faced with the lockdown, that we were determined to stay connected with one another. We were, I think, more diligent in our faith. But as time goes on, it's easier to begin to treat this as some kind of sabbatical. And, a sabbatical from our walk with God. It's important not to neglect our spiritual life at this time. Social distance, if you must, but let there be no spiritual distancing. Instead, let us draw near unto God. So I want to start by naming some of the spiritual disciplines that we find in Scripture. These are disciplines that we as believers are to do. Now, there's no one particular chapter in Scripture that addresses all the spiritual disciplines. They're scattered throughout the Bible. So this is not going to be an exhaustive list, but nevertheless, it gives us a broad view of what spiritual disciplines include. Prayer, Bible reading, along with meditation and memorization of Scripture, fasting, worship, solitude and keeping silence, sacrifice, Sabbath keeping, fellowship, breaking bread together, hospitality, confession, giving, service, frugality, sharing your faith, and many more. So some of these disciplines are designed primarily for the individual, such as solitude. And other disciplines are designed for the community to practice together, such as observing the Lord's Supper. And some disciplines are designed for both the individual and community, such as prayer. Now, we are to train ourselves unto godliness, and Jesus is still our model for godliness. So does he model the spiritual disciplines? And the answer is yes. Jesus practices these spiritual disciplines, and he practices them frequently and faithfully. He studied and memorized the Scriptures. He prayed often in solitude. He fasted. He served others. He gave of himself. He worshiped. He kept the Sabbath day. He fellowshiped with others. He broke bread with others. He was baptized. So Jesus, by his life and example, showed us that these spiritual disciplines are of utmost importance for a believer. However, let me start by saying that it's crucial that we understand that the first word in Scripture for us is not grow and become more like Jesus, but rather repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? The first word is not about disciplining ourselves and cooperating with God for our own growth, but rather we are to come to the knowledge that we have sinned against God, that we have not loved him as we should, that we have not lived for his glory. And we come knowing that there's nothing we can do to win his favor. We come to Christ believing that he has died for all our sins and that he has been raised from the dead. And we now are receiving his forgiveness. We receive his atonement. And once we receive Christ, we rejoice that we are fully accepted by Christ. Okay, because there will always be room for change and growth in our life. The thief on the cross didn't have much time or opportunity to grow as a disciple of Jesus. He died soon after he believed, but he was ready because he had looked to a Savior to save him. And so I want to emphasize, begin with God's full and total acceptance in Christ Jesus. Right? That's the gospel. the gospel and salvation, it tells us of what Jesus did for us. It's not what we do for him. It's not about what we do together. It's about what he did for us. And that's where we need to begin. These disciplines are not a way for us to get saved or for us to be more loved by God. Yet, every disciple that was taught by Jesus practiced the spiritual disciplines. And if you read Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 18, you will find Jesus speaking to people who were very familiar with these spiritual disciplines. Familiar because they were found throughout the Old Testament. And he points out to them that there are ways of practicing the spiritual disciplines that will get no spiritual results. No godliness will be produced. For instance, he says, you know, when you give, don't give so that other people may see you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. When you fast, don't look somber. You know, don't do it for other people. That's not the purpose. That's not the end of these spiritual disciplines. And when you worship, don't just let your lips be moving and allow your heart to be far from God. So there was some correction. There were ways that people could abuse and misuse the spiritual disciplines. But he assumed that the Christian community would continue to practice the spiritual disciplines. And that's why later we find in Acts chapter 2, verses 42, that the disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. So there's a wrong way of doing them, but there's a right way of doing them. We do them not unto people, not to look good in the eyes of others, but we do them unto the Lord. Now, why is it important for us to practice these disciplines? Why, for that matter, did Jesus practice these disciplines? And it's, you know, the answer is that the spiritual disciplines are God's way of ministering his grace to us. It's God's way of empowering us. And it's also God's appointed way for us to draw near to God. So some of these disciplines are for us to practice alone, just between you and God. And so Jesus bids us, you know, go into your secret chamber, into your closet, where only God sees us and knows what we're doing. But Paul prayed regularly when he was by himself. Daniel prayed when he was on his own. And Jesus would go off and pray by himself. Practice these disciplines as unto the Lord, even when no one is watching. Because the goal of the disciplines is a deeper communion with God. And as we practice these disciplines, we allow God to minister to us. Okay, so as we read the Word of God, he can then open our eyes to see him and to see wonderful things in his Word and to give us guidance. And as we pray, you know, we may be better able to discern the will of God for our lives. And he can pray through us and unite us with his will. So there's this giving and receiving activity that goes on as we practice the spiritual disciplines. So the disciplines are not to be used as some kind of a checklist or as an end in themselves, okay? We don't pray just for prayer's sake. We pray and we read and we fast and we worship to be able to have deeper communion with the Lord. I would say that that's the most important reason why we practice the spiritual disciplines. But there are other reasons. The spiritual disciplines are God's primary method for us to grow. His primary method for us to be transformed and become more Christ-like. So the way God grows his children in knowledge and strength and zeal is through the practice of these spiritual disciplines. For instance, you find yourself lacking in wisdom. What should you do? You know, we say, Lord, I just keep making the wrong decisions in life over and over again. How do I grow in wisdom? Well, the scripture tells us if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. If anybody lacks wisdom, let him read the word of God. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him get counsel from those in the community. Well, what if somebody says, I'm just constantly struggling with the same sin? Well, if anyone wants to avoid sinning against the Lord, let him hide the word of God in his heart that he may not sin against the Lord. Or confess your sins to your brother so that they may pray for you. And if somebody says, well, what about, how can I avoid temptation? Well, watch and pray that you will not fall in temptation. What if I'm always discouraged? Well, practice worship. Focus on God's sovereignty and his love for you. And see if the discouragement is lifted. Many have said, I was discouraged, and then I began to serve other people. And I found that God lifted my spirit and shifted my thinking away from me and unto others, and I got some perspective. Now, I gave a list at the beginning. And I would say that we should seek to practice, in addition to prayer and the word, which perhaps are the most important disciplines for our spiritual life, but that we should practice a variety of other spiritual disciplines as well. Why do we need to practice these? Well, you know, if you go to the chiropractor, you will find out when you tell them what muscle is sore or what pain you may be experiencing, that they're going to give you particular exercises for you to do. All right, there's no one exercise that is good for every pain or weakness in your body. Or likewise, when we go to the gym, we discover that there are exercises and workouts that target certain body parts. Some exercises are more designed to strengthen, you know, the leg or the arm or the chest or whatever it is. And it's the same with a spiritual discipline. Some strengthen various parts of our character. And there are specific disciplines that are better suited to deal with particular sins in our life. Like, frankly, I don't know of a better discipline to deal with pride than confession. And service is a discipline that may deal with our tendency to self-centeredness. And giving is a discipline that may address our greed and our stinginess. Now, our tendency is to keep practicing those disciplines that come easier to us rather than those that seem more difficult and contrary to our temperament. In other words, some of us, like, wow, reading the scriptures and studying, that's no problem. But when it comes to prayer, well, that's a different question. But to grow in our faith, to grow in Christian character, we need multiple disciplines. And in fact, we find that the scriptures often combine disciplines. You know, it says, confess your sins one to each other and pray for one another. Or as I read in Acts, they were devoted to apostolic teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. So scripture never reduces the spiritual disciplines only to one. Or two. I would say that some are definitely more basic and more important than the others, but all of them together serve to produce the fullness of Christian character. God has placed these disciplines, these core disciplines, within our reach, all right, so that we may grow spiritually. We are not to sit around and wait for spiritual growth to happen in our lives. So don't be puzzled about why perhaps you're not growing. If you want to grow as a believer, don't be a stranger to the practice of these spiritual disciplines. I heard of a survey that was done by Christianity Today a number of years ago. And they discovered through this survey that only 19% of Christians read their Bible daily. And the average Christian spends about 4 to 5 minutes a day in prayer, if that. And the people tithe on average 2% of their income. So if practicing the social disciplines is how we are to grow spiritually, is it any surprise that there's very little growth in the lives of many believers? So you can expect that those who grow in the Lord and mature in their faith will be people who pray and read the word and worship God, and they fellowship and they persevere and they do these spiritual disciplines faithfully over the years. Now, thirdly, the spiritual disciplines, when faithfully practiced, prepare us for future service, for effective service. Now, the reason I want to emphasize the word future is because we may not see the results right away. We may not see what God is preparing us as we practice these disciplines. But as we practice them, you will see it by and by. And you will discover that you are stronger in the Lord. Dallas Willard gave this wonderful illustration. And some of you may have seen the movie The Karate Kid. And you may remember that he wanted to enter into this competition where they were going to fight by using karate skills. And he went to this teacher who had a reputation of being a master. And the master decided to take him on. But he said to the lad, he said, "Okay, remember now, you're the student, I'm the teacher. And so you must do as I say." And the master told him, once the karate kid agreed, that the master told him, "All right, what I want you to do right now is to wash the car. Wash cars. And I want you to do it this way." And he showed him this round and round motion. You know, here's a rag and just wash round and round with your right hand and with your left hand. And then when he was finished that, he thought, okay, now maybe I'm going to get some skills in karate. But no, the master told him, "Paint the fence. And I want you to do it this way, up and down stroke, up and down, up and down." And then later he says, "Now I want you to stand on one leg, on one foot." So at this point, the karate kid was really beginning to get frustrated and angry. He thought, "This is just all a waste of time doing all these chores. What do these disciplines have to do with karate and preparing me for the competition?" And then as the day drew near for the competition, and as he was beginning to, you know, to practice and to enter into this fight with others, he realized that all those disciplines had everything to do with karate. So we do these disciplines that God commands us, we do them in faith and obedience. Even if we can't see immediately and exactly how it might produce godliness, do them even if you don't feel like doing them. You may not see the results right away, but something significant is taking place in you. You know, it's been pointed out that Jesus trained for 30 years so that the Father could use him in the last 3 years of his life to save the world and turn the world upside down and right side up. Training is important. Now, the disciplines are designed to make the spiritual life second nature to us. What do I mean by that? Now, a number of years ago, I read a story about a Canadian military man on a plane that was hijacked in Australia. And he single-handedly managed to take down the terrorist. And later he was called a hero, and it was interesting to read his response to being called a hero. He said, "I was trained in the army and on the field. So when I saw what was happening on the plane, my training just kicked in without thinking. I saw an enemy, I took him down, I tied him up, and then I went and applied first aid to those who were hurt. This was all part of my training." Wow, can you imagine if we have been trained in godliness, what the result would be? You know, there's a story as well about an individual named Anita Bryant. She was a spokeswoman for the Florida orange juice. And one day, a very angry man who didn't like her views on sexuality came at her and threw a fruit pie at her face. Her pastor was sitting right next to her at the time, and this was all caught on tape. And right after that happened, the pastor said to her, "Anita, don't get angry. Let's pray for that young man right now. Do not hate. Let's talk to our Father about this." What was happening? She was being trained to respond in a godly manner. Imagine if we were trained to respond in godliness every time we were insulted or every time, you know, things didn't quite go our way. Life would be very different. Why don't we do it? Why don't we respond? Well, John Ortberg pointed out that there is a difference between trying and training. Trying without training will always result in failure and disappointment. Okay, trying can only get you a certain distance, but the spiritual disciplines can take us beyond our feeble attempts. Another author by the name of Donald Whitney, he mentions that Tom Landry, the coach of the Dallas Cowboys football team, that he had said that the job of the coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be. I need to read that again. The job of the coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be. And Donald Whitney goes on to apply this and says, "In much the same way, Christians are called to make themselves do something that they would not naturally do," which are the spiritual disciplines, "in order to become what they've always wanted to be, that is, like Jesus Christ." There's a difference between trying and training. The spiritual disciplines, when practiced, they will prepare us. They will prepare us for godliness. They will prepare us for opposition. But we need to train. And then also, the spiritual disciplines, when practiced, will deepen our relationships with other people in the body of Christ. It's not just communion with God, but also communion with one another. When we confess our sins one to another and pray for one another, it deepens our relationships with one another. Finally, we could say, "Somebody really knows me, for I have confessed my sins, and somebody deeply cares for me, for they hold me up in prayer." Likewise, when we give to others, or when we serve others, or when we practice the discipline of listening, when we practice these spiritual disciplines alone and together, we build up the community of faith and we become a more Christ-like community. So I trust, you know, this is just an introduction to the spiritual disciplines. we can spend a number of weeks going through each one of these disciplines and how we are to practice them. But I want to close now. I want each one of us as believers to take seriously this call to practicing the spiritual disciplines. Are you reading the Word of God every day? Are you praying every day alone and with others? Are you still connecting with other believers? If you can, are you faithfully giving financially to support the work of the kingdom? Are you sharing your faith with others? Are you practicing the spiritual disciplines? All right, let us not be simply hearers of the word, but doers of the word. But I also want to just remind every one of us, believers, preach the gospel to yourself every day. Remember that your acceptance and salvation with God is not based on what you do or on your spiritual progress or your ability to grow in the disciplined life. We never outgrow the need for the gospel. The gospel is always foundational to our Christian life. We have been accepted by the Lord Jesus. He has died for us. He has given his life for us. And now, as an act of love, we give our lives to the Lord as well. Let's pray. Father, I pray and ask that each one of us, Lord, would grow in grace, that we would grow in the knowledge of your word, that we would grow in Christian character, that we would grow as husbands and wives, as fathers and mothers, as children, and as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would truly grow, that we would become more Christ-like in every area of our life. Father, I thank you for the spiritual disciplines that you have given to us as a means of grace, a means of communicating your love and your power to our lives. I pray that we may be faithful, that we may be diligent, that we may persevere in practicing these spiritual disciplines, and that we may do it, that we may enjoy a deeper walk with you, that we may enjoy a deeper relationship with other people. And Lord, that by your grace, that people may see the growth in our life and give you the glory. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.